It was pretty funny. You know, Saturday is my day of anxiety because I very rarely got a message on Saturday. Very rarely get a message during the week where I can have it already on Thursday. And most of the time Saturday I'm praying, Lord, what do you want? And when I go to bed at night, of course I know God's going to provide. He always does. But nonetheless, what if he doesn't? How many's ever thought that? What if he doesn't? What if God doesn't? But God always does. And but I went to rolled over last night and didn't have anything. And that was the last thing I prayed, Lord, give me something. Not give me something as in give me anything, but give me what you want. That's what I want. And now I want you to pay close attention to me. I had a dream last night. I had a dream. And again, that's biblical. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men, and I qualify, shall dream dreams. And I woke up. This is about 11 o'clock. I woke up. It woke me up. The dream woke me up. And it was a simple dream. It wasn't some spiritual experience that you would think in a God-given dream. But it was the same dream all three times. I woke up, went back to sleep, had the same dream, woke up, went back to sleep, had the identical dream. Now, a lot of things God didn't show me because he didn't want me getting sidebarred and sidetracked. This was the gist of the dream. I would go to a job. Now what I was doing I don't know or I don't remember, one of the two, but it's not important because that wasn't the focus of the dream. But when I got to the job and I would try to get started, I didn't have the necessary equipment to do the job. It wasn't there. I didn't bring it. I forgot it, whatever. And so when I got that and I realized it, I woke up. Then I went back to sleep. I realized the first time I woke up, this was from God, but I had no idea what it was, what it was for, or what it represented. But I woke up, went back to sleep, dreamed the same dream, got to a job, did not have the necessary equipment to do the job. Woke up, knew it was from God, went back to sleep, had the same dream. When I woke up the last time, it was about 4 o'clock. So I got up and I sat there on the side of the bed in the dream. First thing, as I'm getting up, the dream comes back. In my mind, I said, okay, Lord, what is it? What's going on? And what do you want? What do you need? What are you trying to tell me? I didn't know at the time that this was going to be the message. All I knew was God was trying to show me something in that dream because he showed me the same thing identically three times. So I got up and I started thinking. I said, he revealed to me the focus was on not what I had forgotten, not the individual items that I had forgotten, but that I had forgotten to bring them. And so I didn't know what to do with that. And so finally I'm in the bathroom getting ready, and the Lord said, don't forget. I so heard the words, don't forget, don't forget. So I went to the Word and got in my concordance, and I just wrote the words, do not forget. Five times in the Word of God, you'll find do not forget. David says it five times in one chapter of the book, in the book of Psalms, the 119th chapter. Now, the 119th chapter is the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses. Every single verse makes reference to God's Word. Every single verse calls it by different names. Sometimes he calls it a precept. Sometimes he calls it a stature. Sometimes he calls it the law. Sometimes he calls it a commandment. But every time he does, if you look those words up in your concordance, you'll find out that basically it refers that back to another word. Like if you look up commandment, it refers you back to stature. If you look up stature, it refers you back to precept. But in every one of the definitions, there's always one word that draws out that particular word that was translated. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I started reading these verses, and I said, I see what it is. Now, this is very important. You've heard me tell you this before, that God has called you. If you're saved, you have a ministry. Listen very carefully. If you're saved, you have a ministry. How many can say amen to that? How many know that to be a fact in their own life? All right, then I'm not going to say, then why aren't you doing it? Because you will be. You have a ministry. Now, not necessarily this pulpit ministry. Do you understand? It's not necessarily you're going to be preaching on the street corner. It's not necessarily that you're going to be a deacon or an elder. But it is definite that you're going to have to know the Word of God. Because that's what God asked you to spread. He said, go out and preach the gospel. He didn't say that just to the 12 apostles. He said it to all the disciples that were there when he ascended into heaven. He said, go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Those who don't, won't. Do you understand? It's as simple as that. You're going to live according to God's plan, or you're not going to live with Him in heaven. Can I say that again? Oh, thank you. You're going to have to listen and live according to God's plan and God's will, or you're not going to heaven to live with Him under any condition. Because heaven is His home built for us. Didn't He say that in John 14? He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go away, I'll return and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How are we supposed to know the way? He said, I'm the way. How long have I been with you? I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not going to get there on your own. But we'll keep trying. Do you know why we keep trying that? Because we're stubborn. And we're rebellious. Oh, come on, somebody. We're stubborn and we're rebellious and we're convinced ourselves because of our hatred for the things of God that we can do it our way and God has to accept it. I was listening to a preacher Saturday morning, sitting there in my chair. I had my phone on and I was listening to preaching. And there was an interview, Jan Markell. I don't know if you're familiar with her ministry. But anyway, she was doing an interview. And she was interviewing Walter Martin's daughter. How many know who Walter Martin was? He's dead now. But he wrote the book, Kingdom of the Cults. One of the best theologians on false religions I've ever read after. And another man that I didn't know who he was. I'd never heard his name before, and I can't remember what it was now. But they were talking about the riots in Portland and in Seattle and in Minnesota. What is it? Minneapolis? And they were come to this conclusion that with one verse, you ready for this? And this is where we are sometimes. Come on. Rebellion is as the sin of... Now, if you'll watch the news with lootings and burnings and overturning cars and stealing property, that's rebellion. Do you understand? And she got to talking about that. And she said these three cities. She said Minneapolis has so much witchcraft, it's often called Paganistan. Witchcraft. Not pointed hats that you see on The Wizard of Oz, but people look just like you and I, but serve other gods. Some of those gods are called by their name because they serve themselves. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and this is witchcraft. This is demonic, satanic rebellion. Not only is rebellion as witchcraft, but stubbornness. is as idolatry. In the same verse, that's what Samuel told King Saul. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is idolatry. Idolatry cost the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, its sovereignty, and went into bondage to the Assyrians because of stubbornness and rebellion and idolatry. Same thing happened 125 years later to the nation of Judah in the southern part. Babylon was the ruler then. They captured Judah and all the cities of it and Jerusalem. Put them in bondage for 70 years. Now listen, this is important. No matter what our lot in life, God has the necessary equipment to get us free. Don't forget. David says that, I do not forget. I do not forget. 5 times in this chapter. I do not forget. So let's turn and look at him. Let me preach on it for a little while. You mind? Let's start with Psalm 119, verse 83. You'll find that psalm just about square in the center of your Bible. Got it? Psalm 119, verse 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Now let's walk backwards. David's speaking now in all these verses of this chapter. For I am like a bottle in the smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes. Now, listen, the word statutes there, I'm only going to give you that one word definition. I'm not going to link it to the other ones, but it all goes back to the word. All of those definitions go back to the word. I'm like become a bottle like in smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes. Now that statute, that word statute there, means the appointed or appointment. Do you understand? All of us have an appointment. Now I'm not talking about death, but we have that appointment. But I'm talking about troubles. I'm talking about trials. Never let one of those Word of Faith guys tell you that if you've got troubles and trials, it's because you lack faith. Never let them tell you either that if you've got trials or you've got troubles, that you're under a satanic attack. How many know most of us, even in this room, have troubles because of ourselves? We're our worst enemies because of our rebellion and our stubbornness. I know people, you cannot tell them anything. Listen, I know people, you can't even suggest something to them. Don't ever try to correct them. Don't ever try to rebuke them. You are stubborn. You're an idolater. Your God is yourself. That ought to scare us. I don't see that, Pastor. Yes, you do, just by your attitude. Now, David is saying, listen, I know that I have an appointed time where I'm going to go through hell and God, you're going to let it happen. Oh, come on, somebody. But I know this, God, I've still got your word. I've still got your word because some of it I didn't write. I sang. Do you listen to me? I once was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. This man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his trouble. I got Jesus. Come on, somebody. I got Jesus. I may not have money, but I got Jesus. I may not have a great job, but I got Jesus. I may not have a pretty car, but I got Jesus. And Jesus, because of his grace, because of his mercy, has given me what I need to be, what he's appointed me to be. Oh, shout yes, somebody. Now listen. He says, for I am become a bottle in the smoke. What does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I know. Talking about a wine bottle, but not a glass bottle. Do you hear me? Bottles back then referred to skins. The wine and the water was put into skins. Usually the belly skin or the stomach of a lamb or a sheep. Skin. That's what it was put in. Not a glass bottle. Now they hung those bottles. You ready? In the house. The house was usually heated by a chimney. And for the most part, the house was usually a smoke-filled house. Much of the time. That smoke gets on everything, gets in everything. And it does have an effect on everything. Number one, he's talking about, number one, it looked dirty, nasty. How many has ever looked like you hadn't slept in months? Or you look in the morning like you just got up? Sometimes that's even worse. You're tired all the time. You got bags under your eyes. Your hair's falling out, turning gray. You look like you've been rode hard and put up wet. Also, that smoke, you ready? Has the drying effect. So that causes that wineskin to get hard. That causes that wineskin to begin to crack. That smoke and heat causes that wineskin to begin to leak. David sees himself as that old wineskin. You've got to see yourself the way you are compared to Christ. Let me tell you how that goes in the Bible. I am nothing. I can do nothing. I can become nothing. But in Him, and in Him is my strength. In Him is the softening power of that balm of Gilead that you can rub on that bottle, and that bottle's going to start getting soft and pliable and stop leaking. Come on, isn't that what you want for your life? Brian, become the bottle in the smoke. Yet I do not forget thy statutes. This is appointed to me. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Quit whining. Quit whining. Quit complaining about what you don't have. And start praising God for what you do have. You might say, Lord, look at my bottle. Oh, it's dirty, it's nasty, it's old, it's rubber, it's just cracking and it's dry. He said, but it's not about the bottle. What's in the bottle? Come on, somebody. What's in the bottle? Don't worry about it. I'll protect it. I'll use it for my glory. Forget about the bottle. It's what's inside the bottle. That's the treasure. Jesus. You can look at yourself and say, Lord, I don't know how you got in there. I don't know how you even going to stay in there. But God, I know as long as you're there, I got it made. Hallelujah. It's the bottle. That's the gift. That's the tool. That's the necessity of my life is what's in the bottle. Number two. Oh, I'm not finished my verses here. Go to Psalm 119 again. Go back up to verse 16. In fact, let's wait for that one. Let's go to Psalm 22 first. This is good. This is the way David saw himself. In Psalm 22, you got it? Verse 15 says this. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. How many know what a potsherd is? It's a piece of pottery. It's a piece of pottery. That's all it is. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the potsherd or the pottery, before it can be used, has to be put where for a certain length of time? The oven. The oven has to be, it's called a kiln, K-I-L-N, kiln. You ever hear that word before? That's where the potter gets it all formed up and sticks it in the kiln, and the kiln is lit and it's fired. It's called being fired. It's heated to a certain temperature for a certain length of time in order to produce a hard as a rock piece of material. David's saying, I feel like I just got in the kiln. You see? Do you understand? But listen, when I get out, this is how he describes being in the kiln. You ready? He says, listen, my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. That's brought me into the dust of death. But when I come out, I'm going to be usable by God. Listen, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. God's got just as much heat in the church as he's got in your kitchen. And you can't stand it, you're never going to be what God wants you to be. All you'll be is what you are now, a complainer. Complain, complain, complain. If I can't fix it, I can't fix it. I'm not going to let it be an issue. Why should the fact that I can't do it be an issue with me? Do you understand? When you get saved, you'll find out you don't want to do a lot of things that you used to could do. And I'm not talking about sinning. I'm talking about getting glory stuff. Come on. When I was not a saint, but was a sinner, I used to work for my salvation, just like some still do in this church. Still doing and thinking God's going to bless it. He's not. He can't. He won't. Because it's a violation of his word. That is so ridiculous to think we can earn heaven. If we could earn heaven, there would have been no reason for Jesus to come. Not one iota of reason to come. David's saying, man, I feel like I've been in the fire. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't feel no pain. They didn't feel any pain. They didn't get burned. They didn't smell like smoke. David's saying, I'm on fire. But it's for my own good. And his glory. If you could ever, listen to me, listen. If we could ever get this mindset that everything that we go through that is uncomfortable, if it's not because of our sin, it's for his glory. Do you understand? And if that would be the case and we realized our suffering was bringing God glory, we'd say, lay it to me. Put it on. Come on, somebody. Open up the faucets and let it rip. Psalm 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Oh, my goodness. Now, the word there is the word Torah. Hebrew word Torah. What did we say the word Torah meant? Say it again. The law. But the first five books of the Bible, it's the Pentateuch. The Torah means Pentateuch. And that's the first five books of the Bible which cover the law. Exodus chapter 20, and all through the book of Deuteronomy, they repeat Exodus chapter 20. So he's saying this. Let me read it again. I will delight myself in thy statutes, which are my appointments, those things that I've got to go through, those things that are designed for my growth, those things that are designed for my maturity. Those things that are designed for my correction. Those things that are designed for my rebuke. Those things that are designed for my reproof. And none of you like those three things. Correction, rebuke, or reproof. If you're not going to accept them from God, never think you're going to move another inch in the kingdom of God. You're not. You're not. David's saying, I acknowledge it. And I'm glad they're coming. What's that old saying we said last week? No pain, finish it. No gain. What does that mean, no pain, no gain? If that means in order to build your muscle mass, you've got to destroy it. You've got to injure, listen to me now, you've got to injure the existing mass. When that is healed, it comes back bigger. That's the whole thing. That's what you want, isn't it? I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will not forget. Now, let me ask you a question. If that's, how many believe that? I will not forget thy word. Question. You ready? David said this. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why did he hide it in his heart? That I may not sin against thee. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen. Do not think for a nanosecond that you can use what you don't know. Do not think for a second that you can call up any scripture that you have not hid in your heart and your mind. Do not think that you can advance yourself in the kingdom of God outside of the scriptures. I'm going to tell on Curly. Can I? We were standing beside his trailer. Last month when you come up, we were standing out beside your trailer. Remember? I want you to do that so everybody knows it's the truth. I'm not exaggerating. Curly said to me, I think you thanked me, didn't you? Did you want, if I mess it up, you can correct me afterwards. For preaching the gospel. And he said, I want you to know something. We're listening. Now you don't know, Curly, how that blessed me. He says, because you keep harping on the fact, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. He says, I'm reading it every day now. He's bringing himself to a place that even though hell has unleashed itself on that family many times, I will delight myself in thy statutes. And I will not forget thy word. Don't tell me it's part of your life if you don't read your Bible on a regular basis. It's not. You're fooling yourself. You can't fool me. I've read the book. You're fooling yourself. Read the word. Live the word. Speak the word. I don't know about you, but I started first grade in 1957. Before some of you were born. Not all of you, but some of you. 1957, I started first grade. I was 6 years old. And you know how we learned things? By repeating them. Come on, we repeated them. Teacher would point to the A. A, apple. B, ball. You spoke them. You see, this is what's so great about speaking something. It becomes etched on your mind, doesn't it? It becomes etched there, and it's hard to forget. I will not forget thy word. Why? Because I not just read it, but sometimes I read it out loud. Sometimes I look for reasons to speak it. That's all about learning the word of God. That's all about learning about Christ. That's all about learning how to live for him. Delight when hell comes. God can trust you. Listen to me. You didn't hear that. Do you understand? What do I got to be thankful about? God can wants you to see he can trust you. Now listen to me. That's if you're not doing it because God's punishing you for something. A lot of times your hell is punitive. But sometimes it's redemptive. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Let me move on. Number two. Psalm 119, verse 109. Verse 1 was statutes. My soul is continually in my hand. My soul is continually in my hand. Yet do I not forget thy law, the Torah, the Pentateuch. The first five books of the Bible kind of covered everything but the prophetics. You have two sets of the Word of God, the Old Testament. In fact, Jesus used it in example when someone asked him, what's the greatest of the commandments? He said, the commandments, number one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. Second is like unto it, thou shalt love the Lord, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says, all the law and the prophets hang on those two verses. The law is the first five books of the Bible, and everything you need to know about God and how to interact with Him and how He wants to interact with you is found in those five books. It's called the Pentateuch. It was called the Torah in the Hebrew. We call it the law. Very important. Now, what does David say about it? Listen. My soul is continually in my hand. Now, here's something to consider. When men back then were carrying something of value, they carried it close to them. They carried it sometimes in a box in their hand, or they carried the object literally in their hand. Now, David's saying, my soul is like that. My soul is very, very important to me. Is it important to you? Is yours important to you? Now, here's the problem with that. David's saying, yet I will not forget your law, because your law is the resource I need to carry my soul. Because if not for your protection, if not for your promises, there could be anything happen today. I'm holding my soul in my hand. I can drop it. Come on. I'm not the least of the clumsiest people in the world. I'm not the most coordinated person in the world. The older I get, the harder I have time pulling those CDs out of the machine. One in five are going on the floor. I'm going to drop them. Drop one. Drop one. Drop one. Or miss the hole. Do you understand? I've not got that manual dexterity that I used to have. The coordination that I used to have. David's saying, I'm holding my life in your hands, God. I'm holding my eternity, my soul in your hands, God. He said, I'll not forget what you said, your promises about my soul. Not only could I drop it because of my inability to hold it, someone could steal it from me. Come on, the devil comes not but for to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I've not forgot your word, because the rest of that verse says, but I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Judges 12, 1 through 3. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I will not forget thy law. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house with fire upon thee. Now see, this is the northern kingdom, Ephraim. Had several names. It was called Israel, was called Ephraim, was called Samaria. Jephthah was the king of the southern kingdom, Judah. But Judah went to war with Ammon. And now, Ephraimites are mad at Jephthah for not inviting them to the battle. And Jephthah didn't invite him to the battle for a specific reason. Now, let's see this. Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands. I already asked you to come. You wouldn't come. And when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands. I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hands. Wherefore, then, are ye come up to me this day to fight against me? There's many times God tells you to put your life in His hands, but He lets you carry it. You get that? There's sometimes the Lord lets us think that we got this all under control. But if it wasn't for Him in the background, we would completely lose it. This is what happened with Jephthah. I did it myself. But really he didn't, because it was the Lord that delivered him. You can't tell me, knowing Jephthah, if you ever go study the kings of Jephthah, Jephthah was a man of prayer. Jephthah was a good king. Jephthah honored God. God was in the plan. Sometimes God says, you do it. But you're not doing it under your own power for your own glory. You're doing it under His power for His glory. Now stay with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. Paul speaking now says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Now listen to me real carefully. You haven't seen this type of persecution. At most, you've been laughed at. That's about all you've got as far as persecution in your life is left. Anybody been punched for serving God? Threatened with a gun? Your house burnt down? None of us, right? So we don't really understand this. We can say, oh, wow, but we don't understand this. This is Peter, Paul. This, by the way, is an end of a prophecy that Jesus prophesied about him with Ananias. When Jesus saved Paul, he warned him. He said, go to the street called Straight, and you're going to find a man named Ananias. He'll tell you what to do. God appeared to Ananias and said, listen, this is what I got for you. And Ananias said, listen, God, I don't know. Maybe you don't know who this guy is, but he's wreaked havoc in your church. He says, I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. What if he said that to you? You'd be casting the devil out of your work and stuff because you'd think it was a demonic explosion in your life. Listen to what he went through. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Of the Jews, I received 40 stripes save one. How many times? 5. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice suffered shipwreck. A day and a night have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watching often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And you think you got problems? And you think you're some super duper deluxe industrial strength spiritual giant? He was a man of God. Not only didn't complain about it, but bragged about it. When Peter got whooped with James and John the first time, he says, wow, what an honor. And you quit. Somebody makes fun of you, you quit. I don't believe God wanted me to go through this. I don't think God wants me to go through this. I don't think I need to go through this. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with being beaten for Jesus? It's coming. Do you understand that? I say that. I've been saying that for years. And you say, not in my lifetime. You're going to be, there's people in this church that will be imprisoned and murdered for Jesus. Well, I don't know if I want that, preacher. Well, you can opt out of it, but you'll go to hell. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, pastor, I don't believe all that stuff. I don't care. It's in the Word of God. What are you going to do with it? People, they don't believe in a rapture. I believe in a rapture. I believe in a rapture. But people today, they don't believe in a rapture. They don't even know what, the average church member doesn't even know what the rapture is. But when they say that, I don't believe that. You haven't got scripture for it. I got the best scripture in the world. In the latter days, they won't believe it. Do you understand? They'll doubt it. They'll say, people have been saying that for years and years and years, and where is he? He's a day closer than he was yesterday. Jesus calls them scoffers and mockers. Scoffers and mockers about the return of Jesus Christ. And you see that, you hear that, don't you, from people you talk about Jesus is coming. I said, God, I've heard that all my life. I've heard that all my life. Amen. And as for me, you're going to keep on hearing it because it's the truth. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 5. For he did put his life in his hand. and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? Listen, God has given you the job of protecting your soul. God has given you the responsibility of protecting your soul. And with that protection comes growing that soul and teaching that soul. And if you don't think that the Word of God should be the most important thing in your life, you're not where you should be with God. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying you better get where you're supposed to be. Do you understand? Particularly in the day that we live. Do you hear me? You've got to get in the Word. And I'm going to keep on saying that till you get in the Word. And the only way I'll know that you got in the Word is if you can speak the Word. Not the language, the Word. You can tell me all day long, Pastor, I read this book and I read that book. Amen. What about this book? You see how beat up that book is? You know how it got like that? From it sitting on my coffee table? Oh, come on. It didn't get like that laying in my briefcase all the time. What are your, where's yours? There's no reason for you not reading the Bible. There's no reason. Think about this. Well, Pastor, I don't have time. Just what we've got in common. You know what? I'm going to tell you what you and I got in common. We both have the same amount of time. We both got 24 hours in our day. We both got 60 minutes in our hour. We got the same days, Monday through Sunday. And here's the sin of our life. If there's something we want to do, we'll make time and we'll get the money, except for church. Something comes up, we'll skip church. Now, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm trying to keep your life in your hands and you not dropping the ball. This is not a game. Church does not have a PlayStation game, do they? Let's have church. No, let's be the church. And to be the church, you have to be trained in the things of the church. You have to be trained in the things of God. It's not just coming to hear a message and going home. No, 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 no. If you're going to be the church, you're going to learn how to spread the word. You're going to learn how to pray for people. And you're going to have to do it God's way, not your way. I want God center. I want God center. And I'm going to preach Him center. And I'm going to keep Him center. And you'll get uncomfortable if He's not center in your life. You'll get uncomfortable. I know it. Amen. And I'm forewarning you. And what do? Repent and say, this is going to be God's way. Stand to your feet. I'm finished. I'm nowhere near finished. I'll finish it next week. Did you get anything? All right. Here's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. All of us who have children know this. We tell them, and we tell them, and we tell them, and we tell them. And a lot of times, we'll tell them again and still get no response or nothing that we want done. Anybody have children that's passed that test? And as many times, we've got to rattle their cage. We've got to get their attention. We've got to punish them. You're going to do what I say. How many has ever told your kids that? No. You start paying the rent. You pay the electric bill. Amen? You put gas in the car. Then maybe I'll listen to a little bit of what you got to say. But until that happens, you live here. You belong to me. No, it's not going to be your way. Well, I'm 18 years old. Then find you an apartment somewhere. Oh, I could never do that, Pastor. Well, be prepared for the rhythm of your life with mom, with the kid running the show. Amen? I got to give the Chapmans credit again. As long as they had kids that were under the age of 18, they were here every Sunday. But that's the way it was. What are you going to do, Pastor? There's nothing you can do but pray. There's nothing but you. Listen to me now. Listen, this is the same thing that I grew up in, or that my kids grew up in. They were raised in church. God, you promised. God, you promised. You promised. You promised. And I'm going to stand on your promise. I'm going to put my faith in your promise. And then I'm going to just sit back and wait. Come on, somebody. That's all you can do. Amen. Don't call them. Don't call them and invite them to church. Just be quiet and let God. God said, look up and see the salvation of the Lord. And they didn't have to do anything but tell God his promise. Isn't that what you want? Huh? Isn't that what you want? Well, Pastor, what if it doesn't work? It will work unless you quit. Well, I tried. It didn't work. No, you didn't. You didn't try. How many when your car won't crack, you keep trying? You keep trying. I believe until that battery stops, you're going to keep on turning that key. Aren't you? You need to do that with your children. Keep turning the key. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for those that got your word this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for those that received your word with gladness and allowing it to change their life. Lord God, there's so much that we've forgotten. There's so much that you need to bring back to our remembrance so that we can live the life that you've called us to live and be the Christian you've called us to be. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, touch those hearts, and as you open your altar, draw them. Draw them not to a church, not to a doctrine, but draw them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open. Act accordingly.